Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're going through our series, Downloading Grace from Heaven. And this is episode 2. God bless you all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your grace to be all over this broadcast. We ask that your word will go forth truthfully, that it will touch hearts and lives and minds. And today will be a day of blessing for everyone that listens to this broadcast. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm John Edmiston, and we're going through the series, Downloading Grace from Heaven. And you're going to be blessed as we learn about how to get God's grace, God's kindness, and God's goodness operating in your life. And the first thing that you need to know about God's grace is that it's free. You can't buy it at a shop. You can't work for it. You can't do this or that to get it. No religious work on this planet is going to give you the grace of God. The grace of God has been purchased already for you by Jesus Christ on the cross, and His grace is sufficient for everything you're going to do in life. And so it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, some of the most important verses in the Bible. So get your Bible open now. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, God's grace comes first and the good works come later. The good works don't earn the grace. The grace is given to us so we can do the good works. Let me repeat that. The good works come second. The grace comes first. God's grace comes into our life freely so that later on, after we've received God's grace, we can do God's works, because grace is what strengthens us to do works. So, the two go together. The grace operates in our life and makes us loving and kind and good and forgiving. And when we're loving and kind and good and forgiving, we can go and do the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. But if we're not okay inside, we can't do much good outside. So the grace of God changes your character, changes your personality, changes the way you engage in your relationships, so that when you go to do good works for God, they're truly good. They're not just duties. They're not just things you do in order to earn brownie points. All the good points, all the gold stars, they've been earned by Jesus Christ on the cross already. When he died for you, he gave you the righteousness of God. And God's grace is sufficient for you. You can walk in God's favor by God's grace alone. But when God's grace is operating within you, you're supposed to go out and do those good works. It's just not there to make you happy and to forgive you of your sins and nothing else. God's grace is there to turn you into the kind of person that can go and do the wonderful works of God. So then how does it operate? You have been saved through faith. When you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. Your faith saves you. You can go in peace with God. So, again and again in the Gospels, we find the phrase, your faith has saved you, or your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Your faith downloads the grace of God into your life. Your faith opens the gateway. It opens the floodgates to the grace of God operating in your life. So, grace is free. Grace is received by faith. It is not achieved by works at all. So if you want to, let's just go a little bit earlier in the Bible to the book of Galatians. And we go to chapter 3 of that thing. And he's Paul is arguing back and forth with these Galatians that are trying to earn grace. And so, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? So Paul's telling them, look, you got the Holy Ghost, which is the great deposit of the grace of God in your life. You got the Holy Ghost through hearing with faith and not by any works of the Jewish law. They didn't have to do all these good deeds and give all this stuff to charity in order to get the Holy Ghost. They just had to hear and believe, and the hands were laid on them and they received the Holy Ghost, and the deposit of the grace of God in their life came with power. So hearing with faith is the key to the whole Christian life, and Romans tells us that the Christian life is from faith and to faith. But our faith then enables us to do works, which are prepared beforehand by God for us to do. So let's put this together into a little construction so you can understand it, how grace works in your life, because you need grace, God's grace, more than anything else in this life. It's the living water that you have to hunger for and thirst for. It's going to change you from the inside out. So God's grace, that living water that flows from heaven, the water of life, is received into your life freely. You can come freely to the throne of God in time of need. The living water is available to all who thirst. So you come to God and you say, Lord, I need your grace, I need your help. And you drink by faith, by hearing with faith. You hear the word of God, you believe it by faith, and then grace flows into your life. Just as you got born again, just as you received the Holy Ghost, everything in the Christian life happens by hearing with faith. And as you believe and as you receive, you will become energized by the grace of God and you'll go out and do good works. Now, the good works aren't essential to salvation, but the good works are a sign that salvation has occurred. And the good works are the fruit of salvation. They're the fruit of you being saved and having a changed life and a changed character. If God's grace comes into your life and changes your heart so that you are now a loving person, you will do loving things. And a person who's full of bitterness and rage is not showing the fruit of salvation. You've got to show the fruit of salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, and self-control. You've got to go out there and turn the grace into good works. And that's your job as a Christian. But you are saved by grace through faith. And that is not of works that anyone should boast. But once you've got that freely given grace, you then use it for good works that God has predestined for you to do, set there in front of you for you to do. Okay, so here's this grace, and we receive it by hearing with faith. No other way. We don't earn it. You don't go to church, and you don't run up the steps or do this or put money in the plate to receive grace. Those things are unnecessary. You should go to church. You should donate. But the grace of God comes through hearing with faith. There are many people who go to church and have no grace in their life because they have not heard and they don't have faith. So you've got to hear with faith. That's the thing that's going to get the grace of God operating in your life. So what does the grace of God do once it arrives in your life? Let's look at the book of Acts and see what happens when people have grace in their life. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales. So here we are in Acts 4, 33 and 34. Great grace has been poured out on the early church, And the early church is starting to prosper. Lots and lots of people are getting saved. In Acts chapter 2, there's 3,000 people getting saved on the day of Pentecost, and then more and more as we go along. And so in chapter 3, we see the healing of the lame man, and more people are getting saved, and more people are getting saved. So here in verse 33, it says, "With great power the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." So this whole community of Christians in Jerusalem was experiencing the grace of God. And what did it cause them to do? The grace of God, once it came into them, changed their hearts and their minds. And in verse 32, it says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them." And then in verse 34, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales," and then 35, "and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." So we find the grace of God changed people from greedy, stingy, selfish people into people who truly loved one another and were prepared to do good works and help out the needy among them. This is a sign of the grace of God at work. People don't naturally do that. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be a communist or a socialist. What I am saying is when the grace of God works in your heart, you will become kind. You will become generous. You'll become a loving person. And that is the fruit of grace active in your life. So God acts in our life through grace. Grace releases the power of God into our life and causes us to be a changed person and to live in a miracle-working environment. In Acts chapter 4, it says, "Mighty works were being done by the hands of the apostles." Miracles were happening everywhere. People were being healed. They were being raised from the dead. All sorts of great miracles were happening in Jerusalem because great grace was upon them all. So when you've got a kind heart, when you receive the God of grace, when you receive God's grace into your life, you're going to see kindness, you're going to see love, and you're also going to see miracles. And that's what the book of Acts tells us over and over again. So is this grace just a fixed thing? Is it something we just get once in conversion? Or is it something that's ongoing for us? And we find a clue for that in 2 Peter and chapter 3 and verse 18. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So this is the last verse of the book of 2 Peter. And he's been talking about false teachers. And he says, don't get misled by these false teachers, but instead grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to grow in grace. You receive grace at conversion. That is what we call justifying grace. It justifies you. It makes you right with God. And that kind of grace is the kind of grace we talk about in Romans over and over again. It's the grace of our standing before God. We are at peace with God because we are saved. But then not only do we have justifying grace, we have sanctifying and sustaining grace. This is the grace we grow in on a daily basis. You have to receive the grace of God by hearing with faith into your life, and then you have to grow in it and grow in it so that you don't remain static. It's not a fact that at conversion you receive this big dollop of grace. They pour 5 gallons of grace into you and bloom, you've got all this grace. Or as we'd say, 20 litres of grace is just poured into you and that's it, and God walks away. No, that's not the case at all. God is continually pouring grace into your mind and into your heart. God does not walk away from you. He gives you the grace of salvation when you're saved, but he keeps pouring grace into you through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of grace and who lives in your heart and your mind, and you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of grace, is continually working God's grace into your heart and your mind and your personality and into your character. And as the Holy Spirit's doing this work, is releasing grace into you all the time, then you have to grow in that grace. You can't say, well, I've got enough grace now, I'm saved, I'm fine, I don't need it anymore. That's just pride. That's arrogance in the face of the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have to grow in grace. You have to let the Holy Spirit work in you, and you have to keep hearing, and you have to keep believing, and you have to keep obeying, and you have to keep on doing the good works that God's called you to do. Because those good works pull this grace into action. The good works help you to express the grace that you've received. Okay, so what does grace do for us? Grace helps us to be abundant in our life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians and chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Let's read that verse again. It's a fantastic verse. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So God's grace flows into your heart and your mind, and out of the grace working in your heart, you have an abundance for every good deed. And it means also a physical abundance, but also primarily you have an abundance of God's grace working in your heart so you don't become dry. You don't become worn out doing the ministry. It's easy to get exhausted in the ministry. It's easy to get exhausted and burned out if your works are not accompanied by God's grace, if they're not flowing from God's grace, if they're just flowing from your human flesh and your human mind, you're going to get burned out. So you've got to minister out of the grace of God that's within you. You've got to love your children, your husband, your wife, your relatives by the power of God that is within you and works mightily within you. And so, because Jesus is in your heart, because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, you can receive God's grace by hearing with faith. And as you draw on that grace, you will be able to do every good deed that God has put in front of you to do. And God will also, and it says this in 2 Corinthians 9 right here, God will supply the finances you need to do the good deeds that God has called you to. So it's both internal and external, because God's grace is all around your life. And God wants you to be a person who is in the image of God, who is in the image of Jesus Christ, who's loving, who's kind, who's gracious, who's good. And his grace is going to be supplied to you in your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, so that you can be in the image of God, and so you have a superabundance for every good deed that God's called you to. And if we go a little further to the left, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, and verses 4 to 8, let's have a look at that as we are going along here. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which is given you in Christ Jesus. So the grace is a gift, and we receive it in Christ Jesus. That in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, that spiritual gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also conform you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So here's the grace of God. It's flowing into the lives of the Corinthians. It's enriching them in every way. Every spiritual gift, all speech and all knowledge are being poured into them by a fire hose of God's grace. So they have all these spiritual gifts, and you find out about them in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, and tongues and miracles and interpretation and healing. They're all happening in the Corinthians church. Why are they happening? Because they're freely supplied to them through Jesus Christ. The grace of God is flowing into the Corinthian church just as it did in the Jerusalem church. How does it get there? By hearing with faith. God does miracles among the Galatians by hearing with faith. God does miracles in Jerusalem by hearing with faith. God's doing miracles and supplying wisdom in Corinth by hearing with faith. So this is the key. And the grace is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's done everything for us on the cross and has already purchased the grace that we need. Why don't we have it? Because we don't believe it's there. We believe we have to earn it. We believe we have to be good boys and good girls, and that God's grace is unavailable to us. He's not going to do anything for us unless we've ticked all these rules. And that's not the case. Jesus has already obeyed the rules for us. He's already fulfilled the law for us. And because he's done that, God's grace is freely available to us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, that's abundantly poured out in our life and in our heart. So the grace of God helps us to receive an abundance for every good deed and wisdom and knowledge and truth and miracles. So grace supplies. Grace is our sufficiency. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what God tells Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or chapter 12. Anyway, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So there we are. Our grace, God's grace, is sufficient for us to be in the image of God, to do every good deed, to complete our life. But we have to keep drawing on it. We can't just say, oh, well, I got grace when I'm saved. That's enough. That'll do. We have to keep going to God in heaven for the grace we need in time of need. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Go over, it's past the Timothys and Tituses. We get to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And we'll start at verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. So what's happening here is we've got a high priest in the heavenly realms, that's Jesus, and he understands our weakness. He understands our ability to need grace in time of need. He understands our temptations and our sufferings. He's been where we are. He's been in the flesh. He's been tormented and tested his whole life, yet without sin. And he's got the grace we need. And so he's on the throne of grace. And we go to the throne of grace and say, Jesus, I need grace right now. I need patience right now. I've run out. I need joy right now. I've run out. I need your grace for healing right now because I just don't have it in me. I had to take a funeral last Friday. It was a very complicated funeral of a young man who passed away after a very difficult life. It was a tragic funeral, but he was saved. And I knew I needed God's grace to take that funeral, and God turned up and gave me the grace, and everyone said it was a wonderful funeral, and I was a wonderful pastor. And I was just saying, it's all glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You did that. And so we can come to the throne of grace in time of need, and he will give us what we need in the desperate circumstances of life, when we've got to talk to people or take a difficult funeral or meet some challenge or help a family that's in distress, and we just don't know what to do, God's grace is going to turn up for us in time of need. So you can go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need grace now. I don't have it. My spiritual tank is empty. I need love. I need patience. I need kindness. I'm messing everything up. I need self-control. Whatever you need, you go to the throne of grace in time of need and you will get that thing. So God has a throne of grace. He's going to pour out the grace to give you an abundance for every good deed and help you to do the work of God. The grace of God is flowing like a river. You just have to go and ask at the throne of grace. It says, let us therefore draw near with confidence. God's not going to beat you up. You can be confident to go to that throne of grace in time of need and get what you need, that we may receive mercy. God is merciful. He's not going to scold you, and you may find grace to help in time of need. Just go to the Heavenly Father, cry out, get that living water inside of yourself, and you will notice that suddenly you can do things that you were never able to do before, which is why Paul says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we download the grace from heaven and then we go out and we're strong in it. We say, I've got the grace of God. I can take that funeral now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God's called me to do, the good works that he's called me to do. And my works are the works of a pastor. But you might be a nurse and you find yourself in the middle of a challenging operation and you say, God, help me right now in the middle of this challenging operation where there's a great and difficult thing going on, and God gives you wisdom and God gives you the ability to be a terrific nurse, a compassionate, kind and competent nurse in that situation. His grace will be sufficient for you, but you've got to be strong in it. Weak people are full of doubts and uncertainties, and they never act and they never do anything, and they're indecisive and they receive nothing from the Lord. But strong people lay hold of the grace of God and they run with it. And so you've got to download the grace of God into your life by hearing with faith. You download it into your life. You believe God's grace is going to be active. You believe he's going to give you wisdom and strength and kindness and competence, and everything you need for life is going to flow from heaven into you. And when you receive it, you've got to be strong in it. You've got to step out. You've got to be a person of boldness. And God wants bold people, people who live in the grace of God and know the grace of God and are saying, yes, I've got the grace of God working mightily in me. That's what Paul said, that he ministered not out of his own competence, but the grace of God in him. And he said, the grace of God works mightily in me, therefore I can present every man perfect in Christ. So he had a mission from God. He was on that mission from God, and he wasn't accomplishing it by his own strength. He was downloading grace from heaven, and that was giving him a power and a superabundance for every good work that God had foreordained him to do, and he was stepping out on it strongly. He was a strong person. So you've got to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and then God's going to lift you up. It's going to do miracles. You're going to see great things happening. You'll preach terrific sermons. You'll be able to be a great mother or a great father. You'll be able to do your work well, because God will be with you like he was with Joseph, and you will have excellence and success in your life, because the grace of God will make you excellent and successful once you're strong in it. But if you sit down and you worry and you doubt and you fret, then you're not being strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You've got to stop that. You've got to stop the negativity. You've got to get away from all that anxiety and stress. It comes to all of us. It afflicts us and binds us up sometimes. And we get bound up in our own worries. We've got to step out of our own worries. We've got to say, God is good. God loves me. God wants me to be the image of God. God wants me to do the good works that he's prepared beforehand for me to do. And you step out by faith and you receive grace, and then you're strong in that grace to do all that God has foreordained for you to do. Now, that's today's session on downloading grace from heaven. And you can find the studies on newtestamentprayer.com. newtestamentprayer.com. God bless you and have a terrific day. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity. And I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.